What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at nissanusa.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Bombshell allegations in the Alec Murdaugh case. Bob, I want to get your reaction to this. When you heard the statements and the filing by Alec Murdaugh's attorneys, what was your initial reaction? And now that there's been a little bit of time, where are you with it right now?
So, yeah, man, there is no shortage of like explosive true crime stories, right? It's every single day, it's something explosive is happening. So when I first heard about it, when I first heard that they were going to be filing a motion to dismiss, I'm like, wait, like initially, because there's a 30-day rule typically in each state wherein you have to file a motion for a new trial within 30 days if you're, you know, going to be appealing. So because the court loses jurisdiction. Now, what I soon figured out, I start digging into South Carolina's rules and they have this 29B, which allows for them for after discovered evidence, as long as they've been exercising due diligence in terms of discovering this evidence, they can go up to a year before they end up filing. So when I first heard about it, that was my initial thought. And then my mind was blown. And then when I read the thing, my mind exploded. I'm like, oh my God, I've been practicing a long time. We have had issues with jurors before, but nothing that rose to the level of what this potentially could be. So I was shocked, you know, because the allegations, if true, are unbelievable. Yeah. You know, I mean, and what make it so unbelievable, it, you know, because the way that it happens here in Illinois, like when I'm in court, there's a bailiff that handles kind of the hand holding with the jurors.
Sure.
It's not the clerk. Now I don't know if they have a bailiff and a clerk situation down there, or the clerk's just doing it, or what the case may be. But in terms of the clerk handles, you know, getting all the documents to the lawyers in terms of the questionnaires when we're picking a jury. But in terms of leading the jury up from wherever they have them collected in the morning up into the courtroom or to the jury room, ordering lunch, any kind of issues that pop up, it's typically a bailiff who are those guys or gals that have on the, you know, like the maroon or yellow jackets that walk around that are basically there to protect the judge, and they do the judge's bidding. Yeah. They call the court to order in the morning, typically. You know, those are typically the people that are dealing with the jury. So when I'm reading about the elected county clerk,
Yeah, that the is elected, doing this. That, and that's elected. Important to note. Elected official, yes.
Oh, man, I'm sitting there and I'm just trying to think, what is going on? You know, and then I dive into the motion. Because, yeah, my first instinct was like, oh, my God, he's getting a new trial, like unequivocally, you know. Then you calm down. You start reading through it. I start having Twitter wars with people, you know, because there's basically there's two camps yeah. right now. There's the camp that is, okay, Poot and Griffin somehow went to these jurors and they've been, you know, bought and paid for in order to say this. And we're not buying it. We think that somehow once Poot got in the door that he was able to charm him and say, hey, you know, is it possible she said that, you know, where he was massaging the words and what was said and that they wrote up these affidavits and that, you know, when it comes to pass that none of these juror/witnesses are going to stick to the story. Right. So
sure.
There's that camp that just still believes it's low country. You don't know how low country works. It's as corrupt as can be. And, you know, this thing is all just a facade and it's going to get, you know, exposed at the hearing if it gets to a hearing. And then there's the camp where and I'm in this camp that if his Sixth Amendment right were violated,
yeah,
then he deserves a new trial. It's simple as that.
Yeah.
No matter how awful of a human belief. Like, exactly. And I think he is a terrible human being.
Sure. Yeah.
No matter what.
100%.
Like he is an awful, I just want that to be clear. I am not pro Murdoch. I do not think that yep. Murdoch was innocent. I think that he is an absolute massive turd.
Yeah.
However, the Constitution applies to all of us and we can't create a situation where they allow the sanctity of the jury room to be infiltrated by elected officials coming in and swaying a jury. So that being said, you know, I started digging into the affidavits. And, you know, I was read through the motion and, you know, let's talk about that. Like, yeah. What questions do you have about the affidavits themselves?
You know, I went through the whole thing this morning and I don't know that I have so many questions because, I mean, it seems fairly straightforward. What we're talking about here, we're talking, and correct me if I'm wrong, we're talking about the testimony, the sworn affidavits from jurors. We have at least two of them. There's one that was dismissed that wanted to remain anonymous that made a statement, but two jurors at least have said this is what happened. We have their accounts in those affidavits. I'm trying to run everything through my mind because this thing has been such a twisted turn of a case of I don't see how this would be anything other than honestly what it is. It doesn't.
I mean, it's that theory, man. Like, yeah. Like I'm telling you, there's so look, the state is not going to stand idly by.
Yeah.
Right. You know, because it's not unusual at all that these jurors lawyered up because one of the big things that people started asking, oh, well, you know, they hired Poot's buddy, Joe, like Joe is their lawyer and he's the one that's representing them. And, you know, that if you're a prudent attorney and you are able to dig up witnesses that are willing to come forward with bombshell testimony like this, you are going to advise them. You should get an attorney. Because the state is going to be coming at you hard.
Yeah.
Like they've just secured a conviction. They don't want to have to go to trial again. They're going to be prying. They're going to send SLED out there. They're going to send the, like, whoever they can get out there, whether it's the feds, whether it's SLED, whoever it's going to be, they're going to be coming at them. If you hire counsel, then they're never sitting there with unfettered access to these people. Like they're going to have to go through the attorney in order to question them. If they want to get together, fine. It's going to be with counsel. And then they're protected because this isn't like a simple thing. You know, people are like, well, why didn't they say anything when the judge would ask him every day after court? Did anybody speak to you about the case? You know, and Newman was great about that. Yeah. Every judge typically does that. It's standard fare for a judge to ask the jury, has anybody talked to you about the case? I've never been in a courtroom in my 21 plus years where a juror said, yeah, raised their hand and said, yeah, this guy was talking to me about, you know what I mean? It's if there's an issue like that, it's typically never brought up like in open court. However, sure. it still does raise the question if the clerk of court or the county clerk was making these kinds of statements, the problem with it is with her being in the position of power and authority that she's in, jurors don't know the process. It's all brand new to them. Yes, of course you'll have jurors that they've served before, but for the most part, you're typically having people that are not familiar with the judicial process, how the court process works. And when you have the person who is basically directing you as to your every move for the better part of 6 weeks in there telling you things, you then begin to think that, well, I mean, she must be able to do this. This must be part of her job. And you're not typically going to question that person because of their position of authority. So I can see a world and why it didn't come up. You know what I mean? Too. So look, this thing, if it gets to a hearing and there's steps, like essentially what happens first is Griffin and Poot go forward and they say they're asking for leave of court to file it. So the first thing they had to do was they had to write a motion for the appellate court and say, look, we need to stay the appeal because we have something that's going on down in the trial court. The appellate court's not going to be able to handle it for two reasons. One, because of the statute says so. And number two, because none of it was on record other than the egg lady. So the egg lady juror, she was voir dired, if you remember, when she got removed. Like Judge Newman actually had her on the stand and questioned her.
Yeah.
And we all got to hear it. So like that, we heard a lot of that. That would be on record. But everything else that's included in this petition is not of record. Everything happened in the back rooms out at Moselle, you know, so it was not common knowledge. And, you know, when you get to the situation where you're trying to figure out why they didn't say anything, it does become kind of a difficult process. And that is what, and so, but getting back to the process. So if I'm assuming that the appellate court has stayed the appeal, that allows us to go back down. The next question becomes, is Judge Newman going to be the one to sit on this? Now, if I'm the defense, I'm 100%, and I love Judge Newman. I thought he was magnificent. Yeah. I thought he was spectacular the entire trial. I fell in love with him. I think the whole country did. But, you know, at the end, at the sentencing, he made clear, you know, that the jury did the right thing, that the preponderance of the evidence, that it all pointed towards their correct verdict. I mean, he basically outright said that he agrees with the verdict, which creates a situation where I'm feeling like I have to either ask him politely to recuse himself or seek to have him removed and have him not hear it. Because I think that when he put that out there for public consumption, it showed that he's moved out of the role of unbiased, which is required for the judge. He now has openly stated his opinion on the record that the jury made the right call, that the evidence supported their verdict. So,
and that's where the problem lies, because even if they did make the right call, which I agree that they did, they didn't play by the rules to get there.
Right.
If this is true, and that's what makes the whole thing, you know, forfeitable.
What's even worse, and it wasn't the state.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like the county clerk doing it on her own accord because she's writing a book, or, you know, I don't know if that's her true motive. I don't know how much money she made on that book. I don't imagine too much.
Yeah.
But, you know, like in her mind, like just you have to think back to that trial. That was short of OJ. I cannot remember a trial that basically the entire country was watching.
Yeah.
No. So people will get sucked up into that vacuum of celebrity, of the whole world has their eyes on us. And I think that's what happened with Becky Hill. And she's going through the, you know, she's clearly writing the book as it's going on.
Yeah.
You know, she clearly came up with the concept, you know, and you can tell with some of the things that she was doing in terms of controlling press interviews. And she was taking a lot of things under her control that wouldn't typically be under her control. So you can see she was getting a little bit egotistical with respect to her role in this whole thing. And I think that she was kind of getting that, I'm feeling like I'm the center of the universe type feeling.
Yeah.
Like, because when I sit here and think that a woman in that position who knows better, who absolutely knows better, because the jurors don't know better.
Yes. I mean,
like when Newman's saying, no one's allowed to talk to you. Like I think that they're assuming that means, well, obviously this woman is allowed to talk to us because she talks to us all the time in terms of what do we want to eat? Can I go have a smoke? Is it a smoke break? What, you know, like any questions they have, that's the person who's answering. So it wouldn't be crazy to think that they would think that it didn't apply to her.
Yeah.
And that her talking out of, like, remember, like no one on that jury was an attorney. Okay. Yeah. No one on that jury went to law school. No one on that jury understands the Sixth Amendment and the intricacies of it. And that, you know, that her saying anything regarding the trial is an issue for them because of, again, because of her position is what creates the real problem for the state in this thing.
Yeah.
If she was just like a random person, like in the bathroom, that's not going to sway anybody, you know, because to me, the bigger issue when trying to figure out whether or not what she said, if that had an impact on their vote, how do you know? You know what I mean? It's like now we're 6 months out.
Yeah.
At that point, like you're trying to go back in time, and like a couple of the affidavits are like, I still had questions after Creighton Waters closing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I was still on the fence a little bit, and you don't know because we can't delve into our minds like that to know what impact that had. And if there's a question whether or not it had an impact at all, it's got to go. There has to be a retrial.
Exactly. It's like, yeah. And we won't know if it did have an impact. But the thing is, there's a real chance that it did. And the fact that is there, that there's a real chance,
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.